Part 30, Chapter 2. Johnny roused himself. He had been so intent upon finance that he had to consciously force himself to think about technical matters. It would be dangerous to Earth to have these consoles scattered through 16 universes, thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of rigs in not always friendly or well-meaning hands, run by other races. You could do a lot of things with a console. You could transport people, send dispatch boxes, ship ores, ship finished goods, send food. But you could also send bombs, as he himself had proven so fatally to the Cyclos, and as would have been the end of the Tolneps. He had not thought much about the problem. Many other things had been very urgent. Yes, one console out there, much less half a million, could be very dangerous to this planet.
"Give me a moment,"
he said. Mr. Tsung also had his uses for the moment and brought them some tea and a tray of bites between meals. It was nearing lunchtime. It also, as he had wisely noted, gave Johnny a needed moment to think. The Cyclos had had Cyclo operators. It didn't make much difference about the platform and rig. The same security measures could be used in the console itself, possibly even improved a bit. If he put a camera in the armored front of the case that would shoot a picture of every cargo... Aha! Metal analysis detectors. If they were built into the platform itself, they could analyze a cargo from all sides, above and below, and if that were connected to a circuit no one could get at, in the console, and if that circuit had a metal tracer... Yes. If anything in a cargo matched forbidden traces like uranium or this ultimate bomb heavy element, the match of the circuit would separate a relay and the console would not fire. It was a trifle difficult to think with all these faces staring at him, waiting. He didn't have to be told the fate of the banks depended upon it. And they hadn't mentioned a thing which could queer the whole deal. If he got with Alan and McKendrick and worked out disease. They said it had an aura. Anyway, there were disease viruses and bacterial traces, and he could work those in, whether disease had an aura or not. And if anything on the platform matched, they would trigger that relay and the console wouldn't fire. He could rig it so if any of such items were put on platforms for Earth, he could tie in the coordinates of Earth so that the console would blow up. Then, if a sign were put on every console in plain view, like, "Any attempt to fire contraband cargo with this console will render it inoperative," no list of things, or else somebody might try to mask the trace. And if one added, "Any attempt to use this console in an act of war against Earth will cause it to explode," maybe even put out that the console could read evil intentions. Yes, he could build a foolproof console. And if the console seemed to be finally assembled in a place which was not known, by people who could not be found, he could make the construction areas very heavily defended. He would let only a very trusted, unbribable few do the final assembly. Start a school for extraterrestrial operators who knew only how to operate it.
"I think I can do that,"
he told them. They all brightened up. Mr. Tsung took the tray away.
"However, the rigs will be a bit expensive."
"Unimportant."
"And I will not sell them. I will only lease them. Every 5 years, a console will have to be exchanged for a new one."
That would keep going an Earth that had no real income, and it would permit an inspection of views of cargoes that had been shipped.
"Some extraterrestrial firm will have to be brought in to make components and cases. Otherwise, it will take too long to build one."
"You can provide consoles?"
asked Lord Voraz.
"He said he could,"
said the Baron.
"If Johnny says he is going to do something, watch it. He will."